I recently had the opportunity to travel with Elder Hallstrom to visit five cities in the great central area of the United States. In each of the cities we visited, we would hold a meeting with the full-time missionaries, followed by a meeting with the stake and ward leaders regarding missionary work. Between the two meetings, the Relief Society would prepare a light dinner for us to afford us time to meet with the stake presidents. When we reached Milwaukee, Wisconsin, two young families appealed to the Relief Society to let them serve the dinner to us. The two husbands manned the kitchen. The two mothers supervised the arrangements of serving the food. The three children handled setting the tables and the serving of the food under the supervision of their mothers. It was an opportunity for mothers to have a teaching opportunity with their children. It was very special to watch the children respond to every detail as they were taught by their mothers. They carried out their assignments completely and fully. The experience caused me to reflect on the training I had received from my mother. Like Nephi, and like so many of you, I was born of godly parents. One of my nieces recently shared with me four notebooks my mother had filled with notes as she prepared to teach her Relief Society. I would imagine these notebooks, and there are others I have not yet examined, represented hundreds of hours of preparation by my mother. Mother was a great teacher who was diligent and thorough in her preparation. I have a distinct memory of the days preceding her lesson. The dining room table would be covered with reference material and notes she was preparing for her class. There was so much material prepared that I'm sure only a portion of it was ever used at the class. But I'm just as sure none of her preparation was ever wasted. How can I be sure of this? As I flipped through the pages of her notebook, it was as if I was hearing my mother teach me one more time. Again, there was too much in her notebook for any single topic to ever be shared in a class session. But what she didn't use in her class, she used to teach her children. I believe it is even safe to say that even though my mother was an enormously effective teacher among the sisters in the Relief Society, her best teaching occurred with her children in the home. Of course, this was largely due to the great amount of time she had to teach her children compared to the time she taught the Relief Society sisters. But I also like to think she prepared so thoroughly first to be an example to her children of diligent church service, and second, because she recognized what she learned from preparing her lesson could be used repeatedly for a higher purpose, teaching her sons and her daughters. Please allow me to reminisce for a few minutes and share a few of the lessons I learned from my mother about teaching the gospel in the home. My mother understood the value of teaching her children about standards, values, and the doctrine while they were young. While she was grateful to others who taught her children outside the home, at either school or church, she recognized that parents are entrusted with the education of their children. And ultimately, parents must ensure that their children are being taught what their Heavenly Father would have them learn. My siblings and I were carefully quizzed after we had had a session of being taught away from home to be certain the correct lessons were reaching the ears, our ears, and shaping our minds. I used to think some days as I ran home from school, I was through learning for the day. But that illusion was quickly destroyed when I saw Mother standing at the door waiting for me. When we were young, each of us had a desk in the kitchen where we could continue to be taught by her as she performed household duties and prepared the supper. She was a natural teacher and far more demanding on us than our teachers at school and church. The scope of Mother's teacher included both secular and spiritual lessons. She made sure that none of us were falling behind in our schoolwork. She would often supplement that work. She also would practice her Relief Society lessons with us. We, of course, received the abridged version found in the notebooks, not the abridged version, that would fit into a class session. Part of our learning at home also involved memorizing scriptures, including the articles of faith and the words of the prophets, seers, and revelators. Mother was someone who believed that a mind would become weak if it was not constantly being exercised. She taught us as we would wash the dishes, churn the butter, and help in many other ways. She did not believe in letting idle thoughts enter your children's mind, even while they were engaged in physical labor. I'm not using my mother as a role model for the parents in today's world. Times are very different today. But while times may change, a parent's teaching must never be devalued. Many activities linked with the values of one generation to the next, but perhaps the most central of these activities is parents teaching their children in the home. This is especially true when we consider teaching of values, morals, ethical standards, and faith. Teaching in the home is becoming increasingly important in today's world, where the influence of the adversary is so widespread, and he is attacking and attempting to erode and destroy the very foundation of our society, even the family. Parents must resolve that teaching in the home is a most sacred and important responsibility. While other institutions, such as church and school, can assist the parents to train up a child in the way he or she should go, ultimately, this responsibility rests with the parents. According to the great plan of happiness, it is the parents who are entrusted with the care and development of our Father in Heaven's children. Our families are in an integral part of His work and glory to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. On God's eternal stage, it is usually intended that parents act as the central cast members in their children's lives. Fortunately, there are understudies involved in the production who may step in where parents can't. It, however, is the parents who have been commanded by the Lord to bring up their children in light and truth. Parents must bring light and truth into their homes by one family prayer, one scripture study session, one family home evening, one book read aloud, one song, and one family meal at a time. They know that the influence of righteous, consistent, persistent daily parenting is among the most powerful and sustaining forces for the good in the world. The health of any society, the happiness of the people, their prosperity, and their peace all find common roots in the teaching of children in the home. President Joseph Fielding Smith taught, "It is the duty of parents to teach their children these saving principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that they will know why they are to be baptized, and they will be impressed in their hearts with a desire to continue to keep the commandments of God after baptism, that they may come back into His presence. Do you, my good brothers and sisters, want your families, your children? Do you want to be sealed to your fathers and your mothers before you? If so, then you must begin to teach at the cradle side. You are to teach by example and also by precept." As the example of my mother's teaching in the home invites even another thought, more generally about teaching, the leaders of the church spend a great deal of time thinking about how to improve teaching in the church. Why do we invest such a time and such an effort? It is because we believe in the immense power of teaching to increase the faith of individuals and the strengthening of families. It is my belief that one of the most effective things we can do to improve teaching in the church is to improve teaching in our homes. Our teaching in the home prepares us to teach more effectively at church, and our teaching at church helps us to teach more effectively at home. Throughout the church, there are dining room tables covered with reference material and notebooks filled with ideas for lessons to be taught. There is no such thing as over-preparing to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. For gospel insights, whether or not they're used during a class time, they can always be taught in the home. The inspired document, A Family, A Proclamation to the World, states, husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have the sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness, to provide for their physical and spiritual needs, to teach them to love and serve one another, to observe the commandments of God, and to be law-abiding citizens wherever they live. It is by divine design fathers are to preside over their families in love and righteousness and are responsible to provide the necessities of life. The protection of their families mothers primarily responsible for the nurturing of their children. In these sacred responsibilities, fathers and mothers are obligated to help one another as equal partners. According to this proclamation to the world, the principles I have taught about teaching in the home apply to both parents, but they are critical, especially critical, to the role of the mother. Fathers most often spend much of their time away from the home in their employment. That is one of the many reasons so much of the responsibility for teaching a child in the home rests on the mother. While circumstances may vary and the ideal isn't always possible, I believe it is by divine design that the role of motherhood emphasizes the nurturing and teaching of the next generation. We see so many challenges today, from distracting and destructive influences intended to mislead God's children. We are seeing many of our young people who lack the deep spiritual roots necessary to remain in standing in faith as the storms of unbelief and despair swirl around them. Too many of our Father in Heaven's children are being overcome by worldly desires. The onslaught of wickedness against our children is at once more subtle and more brazen than it has ever been. Teaching the gospel in the home adds another layer of insulation to protect our children from worldly influences. God bless you, wonderful mothers and fathers in Zion. He's entrusted to your care His eternal children. As parents, we partner, even join with God in bringing to pass His work and His glory among His children. It is our sacred duty to do our very best. Of this I testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.